1. I checked my watch, then glanced at the clock on my computer. They both told me that it was 7 minutes after 1 p.m. I resisted the urge to get up and pace around the archive office. Instead, I turned my chair and looked at the large feline dozing on the wide windowsill behind my desk. Diesel, apparently sensing my gaze, yawned and stretched. He meowed and rolled onto his side, head twisted so that he was staring at me almost upside down. He warbled a couple of times, as if to ask, "Why are you so restless, Charlie?" "The mayor said she'd be here at 1, and she's late. You know how that bugs me," I told the cat. "I'm curious to find out about these family documents she wants to talk to me about. The Longs have already given so many collections of papers to the archive, I have to wonder what they've been holding on to." The cat calmly began washing his right front paw. "You may not be curious, but I am," I told him. "It's not every day that I get consulted by such an august person as Lucinda Beckwith Long." I heard a cough, and it didn't come from Diesel. "I beg your pardon, are you Mr. Harris?" I swiveled my chair to face the office door, and I could feel the blush starting. The mayor stood in the doorway, her expression puzzled. I rose from my desk and walked around to greet Mrs. Long. "Yes, I'm Charlie Harris, Your Honor. Please come in. I was chatting with my cat. It's a habit I have, you see." Mrs. Long nodded as she extended her hand. "I quite understand. My husband and I have 3 poodles, and we talk to them all the time." "Won't you be seated?" I indicated the chair in front of my desk. Mrs. Long, clutching a tote and a black leather handbag, moved forward. She set the latter on the floor beside her when she took her seat. Clad in a chic crimson suit with a white silk blouse and colorful scarf knotted loosely around her neck, she looked cool and crisp and ready to get down to business. I had seen the mayor on several public occasions, but never this close. She was shorter than I expected, probably no more than 5'3", when she wasn't standing on the spike heels I had seen her wear. Though I knew her to be in her mid-60s, she exuded an air of youthful energy, as if she could barely contain herself. Even now I could hear her toe-tapping on the hardwood floor of my office. I figured a mayor's life must be hectic, even that of the mayor of a small city like Athena, Mississippi. Mrs. Long appeared to be assessing me as I waited for her to speak. Diesel hopped down from his perch and padded around my desk to approach the mayor. He sniffed at her bags and then attempted to stick his head in the opening of the tote. Mrs. Long touched his head lightly to discourage him. "No, no, kitty. What's in there is too old for you to play with." The cat stared up at her and warbled as if to say, "Are you sure?" Mrs. Long smiled. "He seems to understand what I said, like our dogs do." "He's a smart cat," I said. "He's also extremely curious." As I spoke, Diesel batted a paw at the tote bag. "No, Diesel, stop that." The cat threw a baleful glance my way. He stood, made a circle around Mrs. Long's chair, and then came back to his perch on the windowsill behind my desk. "Apparently he understands a firm no when he hears one," Mrs. Long laughed. "Our dogs aren't always so compliant." "He isn't either," I had to admit. "Depends on his mood." I waited a moment for the mayor to speak again. When she didn't, I decided it was time to steer the conversation toward the reason for her visit. "I believe you wanted to consult me about some family documents." Mrs. Long picked up the tote and settled it in her lap. She delved inside and pulled out a large manila envelope. She leaned forward and placed it on my desk. A faint mustiness, overlaid with a whiff of mothballs, wafted out of the open end. "Inside that, you will..."